If you ever have an opportunity to enroll in a finishing school, you're from a well-bred family. Well, well-bred in everything except manners, and your parents have decided to send you off to learn manners so you won't be an embarrassment. You should make sure to get the best out of that experience. Here's what you do. You go to the finishing school and you follow the curriculum. You do everything you're told and you diligently learn how to be a polite and civilized human being. And that's great. But you should take full advantage of your first week at the finishing school. Because your first week is where you have the opportunity to do everything, absolutely everything, and say absolutely everything that you're not supposed to say. And if anyone gives out to you, say, well, why am I here if I'm already perfect? Of course I'm swearing. Of course I'm bad manners. I'm here to learn how not to be like this at the finishing school. Is there a freshers week or something? Is that what they call it in college? You don't need a freshers week thing there. All you just need is a week during which you can just do whatever you want. Swear like a, what's that phrase they say? Swear like a, what you call it? Swear like an absolute cunt anyway. Get her all out of your system. Slurp your coffee, eat with your mouth open, drill an extra hole in your cheek so people can see the food going round in your mouth even from an angle. Now, I just realised that's from a cartoon, so no, don't do that. That's someone else's idea. Forget I said that. There is a cartoon, I forget which one, maybe Futurama. There's a character who has a hole in the side of his face. And you can see his teeth and his food churning inside his mouth. You can see his tongue moving from a side angle. It's absolutely disgusting. Do that. Well, don't drill a hole in your cheek. That's a bit much. Is there something you can do to your skin to make it more transparent for a week or two? Create that effect? Maybe not. Maybe not. I don't know. So let's just say, be an absolute arsehole for your first week in finishing school because you're never going to get that opportunity again. Anytime you do that again, they're going to say, he's no excuse. He was literally sent on a 3-year degree in how to be a civilized human being. He knows damn well what he's doing is wrong. No, one last week where you can use the excuse, not that it's an excuse. There's a real genuine reason. There's no reason you would know that all these things are impolite and not the done thing. Otherwise, why would you be sent to that school? I have to tell you, no, you shouldn't be doing that. You're a disgrace. Say, well, why have my parents sent me here if I'm already expected to know these things? And then they'll say, oh, you have a point there. You have a point there. They'll probably say it more fancy than that. They'll say it politely and fancy. They'll have a teacup balanced on their head while they're saying this. You'll be there swearing in class one day during your first week or two, and there'll be a teacher up at the front with a teacup and saucer balanced on their head. Do people still use saucers? When we were growing up, we used teacups and saucers at every meal. Every meal, teacups and saucers, saucers and teacups. We didn't have a dishwasher. We had teacups and saucers. Every meal, 5 of us would sit around the table with a teacup and saucer, including the children. We'd all have teacups and saucers. We were required to drink tea at every meal. So you'd have at very least at every meal, there'd be 5 teacups, 5 saucers, 5 plates, possibly 5 side plates as well, and a load of cutlery, and that'll all end up having to be washed. I don't remember who did the washing up when we were young, to be perfectly honest, I can't remember. So then at some point, I think after my father died, he became less formal. My mother bought a load of mugs. She discovered mugs somewhere. I think she must have seen mugs in someone else's house somewhere. So, oh, they've got mugs and they don't use them with saucers. I think we started using mugs with saucers for a while. But then we lightened up a bit after a while. We decided, no, you can just put a mug and slam it down the table. No one gives a fuck. It doesn't matter. All standards can go out the window now. It's a bit like that thing I said earlier. I used to be a news junkie, so I did enough news reading for one lifetime early in life. I've done my fair share, so now I can be an ignoramus for the rest of my life. The same is true of eating civilly and having cups and saucers and everything. If you do that for the first, I think for the first 12, 13 years of my life, I did that. Then we switched to mugs because my entire family has done our fair share of eating civilized. Now, I think, strangely enough, I think we started using tablecloths after we switched to mugs. And then tablecloth covers, tablecloth protectors that you put over the tablecloth, the type that you can wipe down with a cloth. That was essentially a joint saucer. We were all sharing one joint saucer. I want you to have that experience. If you ever have the good fortune to be in a civilized family, but so uncivilized and shit and disgusting that your family sends you off to a finishing school at their expense, I want you to enjoy every minute of it. And then after that, you can go and do whatever it is you're going to do with your life. What are you going to do with your life? I suppose you can think about that while you're balancing a teacup on your head and walking around and learning how to fold clothes properly while you've got a handkerchief sticking out of a pocket on your shirt or your suit or whatever you wear. Those are disgusting. I don't approve. I don't think it's civilized to have even the well-folded corner of a handkerchief sticking up out of a pocket on the lapel of your suit. I think that looks disgusting. You might as well have a roll of toilet paper hanging around you on a chain. That's gross. Don't do that. That stuff should be kept in a sealed bag, medical grade bag, so no germs can get in or out. No, don't put your fucking toilet roll on display on your lapel. No. Especially not if you're in a wedding or something, or a funeral. That's gross. You might as well have a toothbrush behind your ear, like some people do with their biros and writing implements. They put a toothbrush behind their ear. That's gross. Nothing respectable about that, I can tell you. Nothing respectable about that, I can tell you. Into your head. What happens after you graduate from finishing school is that your life goes to hell. Everywhere you go after that, everyone has high expectations of you. You're expected to be absolutely perfect in every way. It's probably like being in one of those television programs that are set in the 1800s or something. You live in the big house where people arrive from the evening train from the city every day and the driver brings them up. And a fellow who owns the house is called Lord something, and they all have English accents, except for one fellow who it's implied he's IRA or something. And then they have commercial breaks every 15 minutes, and they tell you, oh, this is big in America. This is so great to even show it in America. Downton Abbey was on in the 2000s or 2010s. It's set in the very early 20th century. It's all full of butlers and servants and posh people. They're all going around doing posh stuff until there's a war, and then some of them go to war and some of them don't. And you're supposed to think, oh, the people who go off to war are great. Even though they're out killing and murdering and bombing people, you're supposed to think they're great. And this Irish fella who's at home just trying to look after his child whose mother has died, you're supposed to think, oh, he's an IRA scumbag. Except, no, you're not. No, that's not. Oh. Ignore that bit. That's nonsense. That's absolute nonsense. They have a big front driveway. They've sent someone to pick you up from the train. So you get off the steam train and you get into some car. They put your luggage in the back and then they drive up to this house. And then you get out of the car and there's the whole family there and the servants standing at the front door ready to greet you. The servants are looking like, I need to be somewhere else at the moment. I should be out shining shoes. I can't be standing here at the door waiting to greet people. This is ridiculous. And the family are going, well, I could be somewhere else at the moment. I know television hasn't been invented yet, but I'm sure I have better things to do with my spare time than stand here at the front door like an idiot watching a car arrive. That's ridiculous. And the people in the car are going, oh Christ, I hope they're not going to stand outside the front door again. I fucking hate when they do that. I'd be happy to just bring my fold-up bicycle and cycle up from the train station and then go round the back and knock on the back door or ring the doorbell and say, oh, how are you? But no, they stand outside like I'm the fucking president. And I'm not the fucking president. I think there's an episode where the queen comes up or something like that. No, I don't think there's a president. They don't have a president in Britain. It's not a republic. I suppose they could have a president from another country coming visiting. I suppose they could do that. There's no reason they can't be visiting. People used to travel in those days, even though there wasn't a lot of international flights. People used to travel. My mother traveled to America in the 1950s on a boat. It took about 3 years. You had a 2-day stopover in Newfoundland or something under Boston. They had their underground train system in Boston, so you could sneak into the city underground. You like to put all your commuters underground in big American cities nowadays. You say, no, we don't want them to be seen. You drill these holes under your metropolitan areas. You used to have a steam train going round under Boston. It'd be like going into the smoking area of a bar. And in those days, I'm sure, every bar, the whole place was a smoking area. Now, you had more than one smoking area, presumably. You had a smoking area for white people and a smoking area for everyone else. But you didn't have a non-smoking area. You already have to divide it into two spaces. We can't be dividing it into four spaces. And then we have to have a disabled section as well for each of those. So that's 16 different combinations, a different section for each. No, that's not going to work. You probably need a different one for vaping as well. What's vaping? Is that a thing? I think that's a thing where you put it in your mouth, but it's not really a cigarette, but there's steam or something. Is it a steam cigarette? You suck in this vapor and it's like, oh, it's like fresh, healthy mineral water from a spring somewhere. Allegown water with a hint of some flavor. You probably have a hint of cherries or something. It's very healthy. And you inhale this water and you drown. So you're experiencing drowning while you're doing this, like one of those rock stars who die from choking because they're doing that thing. You know the thing, your man out of what's his name did it. I know that's not very informative. Your man who played Bill in Kill Bill Volume 1 and Kill Bill Volume 2. I'm not going to think of his name, not because I can't. I would think of his name if I thought about it. But what he died of was so fucking embarrassing. I don't want to shame or embarrass him or his family any more than he already is shamed or embarrassed. No, he died doing that thing where you bring yourself to almost choking. And let's say you get kind of a hit out of it that only adults get from these sorts of things. There's better ways to do it than that, surely. He accidentally died. So he's dead. Dead as a doornail now. Is that like what you get from not vaccine, vaping? There's vaping and there's vaccine. Two very different things, vaping and vaccine. Vaccine and vaping, vaping and vaccine. You could very easily get those mixed up as well if you were new to all this. It's not something they're going to teach you in finishing school. They say, oh, would you like to have a vape? And I say, oh, that sounds nice. That'll protect me against diseases, will it? And they'll say, no, not exactly. Not exactly. And do you want the type that involves a steam cigarette? Or do you want the one that involves having a rope that you tie around your neck and you hang over a bed? No. None of that has worked. Stop cramming vapors down your lungs. Your lungs are delicate. Don't put stuff like that down there and don't put ropes around your airways just to try and get some sort of weird satisfaction out of it when you can clearly afford a prostitute. You don't need to be doing that. No, don't do that. So that's Downton Abbey. Now people like to go, is it Downtown Abbey or Downton Abbey? They'll say, is it Downtown or Downton? And either they know damn well it's Downton or if they really wanted to know, they could quite easily search. You have a world of information at your fingertips. It's no longer funny to pretend you don't know something. When you pretend that you don't know a little piece of information that you could get within 5 seconds if you just went tap, 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 tap on your keyboard or phone, then you're just making a mockery of yourself. You're saying, I'm ignorant. I'm willfully ignorant. I know nothing about the world and I want to know nothing about the world. And that's different from what I do, by the way, whereby I don't read the news anymore very much. No, it's very different. You're deciding to just not know whether it's Downton Abbey or Downtown Abbey. By knowing that fact would not do you any harm at all. It's not like you'd be taking on a new fact that's going to bring your quality of life down in any way or stress you. No. You know now, anyway, I've saved you the trouble. It's Downton. It's clearly not downtown, because it's a house out in the countryside, for Christ's sake. The nearest they go to going downtown is when someone gets into the car and gets chauffeured down to a train station. And I don't think you can call that downtown, because it's a little village. The village is basically on their estate. The village itself, I think, is like a post office, maybe a coffee shop or something. Once upon a time, there was a dog. Basically a dog. And this dog was walking along the road one day. In fact, it was what you Americans call a railroad. Minding his own business, watching out for trains. Now, he had no idea what a train was, or that you're supposed to watch out for them, but he was a competent enough dog. He would have noticed the train coming and he would have gotten out of the way. Even if it was coming from behind, he would have realized, oh, that's coming from behind. But even still, it's a danger. Something coming from behind is just as dangerous as something coming head on. In fact, even more dangerous, because it's harder to spot. It is harder to spot something coming at you from behind, but that doesn't mean it's impossible to spot. Just because something's hard to do doesn't mean it's impossible. No, unless you have a can't-do attitude, in which case nothing is possible. You go around with your can't-do attitude, you're going to end up nowhere. You're going to end up in the dregs of society, like in the dregs of this mug of coffee here. Although, unusually, I have almost a full mug of coffee here, so we're not down to the dregs yet. And if I continue to stir it correctly, there won't be any dregs. I'll have consumed every drop. Sometimes I screw up. There's something at the bottom, either sugar or else there's tiny bits of paper. I get sugar in sachets. Sometimes bits of paper from the sugar stick sachets get into the... You're probably thinking, oh, that arsehole. That arsehole, he's killing the environment. He gets his sugar individually wrapped in sticks. He gets someone to form his sugar into stick shapes. And he gets it wrapped up like a, oh, like it's a sweet or something. He treats his sugar like sweet. Little twisty thing at each end. Except it's worse than that, because it's not like a sweet wrapper where you can just unwrap it. Nothing's glued shut. No, he gets paper things that have been glued shut at each end. Probably using some glue that's been got from a horse. An edible horse, because you can't eat normal glue. If you're a child listening to this, don't try to eat normal glue. Not even from a horse. The stuff they use in factories to make sugar sticks, that's glue from some sort of edible horse that they have. Most horses are not edible. If you put them in a ready meal lasagna thing and sell them in the frozen section of your supermarket, people go nuts. They say, oh Christ, this lasagna is made from horse meat. Now, I don't know what the original authentic Italian recipe for lasagna calls for in terms of meat. Does it say it has to be ground beef, minced beef? I don't know. I don't know what they put in it, but I also don't know what they put in sausages, and sausages are absolutely delicious. We worry too much about that. If you're going to go to the trouble, or to the not trouble, of getting ready-made processed meals that come frozen that you put in the microwave, you've no business concerning yourself about what meat is in it. You made a choice to not worry about that, so stop that. You've given up control. It's exactly like those seven-step meetings. Give up all your stuff to a higher power, they say. If you've chosen to have ready meals for at least one or two dinners a week, and it's the stuff that you put in the microwave, you stab the wrapping with a fork or something, or do whatever the instructions say, you've made the decision there to not worry about what's in it. So don't be worrying about what's in it. If you're buying that and then worrying about what's in it, that's a misuse of convenience food. You're only going to be on this planet for 110, 120 years max. 130 if you're lucky. 140 or 150 if you're unlucky. 200 if something quite radical happens to human evolution. So do you find that an attractive prospect or a depressing prospect? That's up to you. Worry about that tonight in your dreams. Send it down to your subconscious and think about that in your dreams tonight. That's what your dreaming system is for. Clear out all that shit, whatever's in your head about that. That's where you do that. You probably do dream and you just don't remember it. But if you find that you don't dream, now I'm not a doctor, this isn't the medical recommendation. But I know from experience that when I take an occasional over-the-counter sleep aid, such as, for example, I think you Americans have NyQuil. We have this thing that's basically just shit in a pill. You cram that down your gullet, you wash it down with something so it doesn't choke you to death. Don't bite in it. It's not nice like that. Basically, it's the opposite of a salted peanut. When you're eating a salted peanut, you don't swallow it whole. No, you bite on it and you crunch it. You mash it up and it tastes delicious. And it makes you thirsty, which is ridiculous because you don't need water to wash it down. You've chopped it up with your teeth. But if you're taking a tablet of some kind, you would never dream of biting on that. Unless you've never taken a drug of any kind before and you're a bit ignorant. Well, I suppose ignorant isn't a fair word. You're innocent of the whole world of drug taking, which I suppose is not something to... It's not really something I should accuse you of. There's nothing wrong with being innocent of the whole world of drug taking. It just means living a very, 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 very sheltered life where you've never had a toothache or an unbearable headache. You've never bashed your head against a wall and knocked yourself out while carrying cat litter out of the bins. You've never fallen off your bicycle as an adult. Neither have I, as it happens. I used to fall off my bicycle as a child, but no, not as an adult. To be fair, most of my adult life I haven't ridden bicycles. But there was a period in my 20s when I rode bicycles occasionally. I had a period of 6 months then where I worked locally. I could get on my bicycle, go down to where I worked, do some work, see that it's lunchtime, get on my bicycle, come back up here to have lunch, then get on my bicycle again and ride my bicycle back down to where I worked, and then worked a bit more until it was time to go home, and then got on my bicycle and came home. As it was not really that interesting when I lay out like that all the details. Well, no, it was interesting to me. I don't drive a car. I sit in the passenger seat, someone else drives, and I just sit there and go, oh Christ, what fresh hell is this? They don't let people drive if they can't see the road anymore. I suppose that's reasonable. Even if it's not reasonable, it's probably good. It's saving me from getting involved in some activity whereby I mow someone down with a car. I wouldn't want to do that. I would feel bad if I mowed someone down, even if it wasn't my fault, and it wouldn't be my fault. I'm legally blind. If I ran someone down with a car, they can't go, oh, he ran me down with a car. Was he not looking where he was going? No, of course I wasn't looking where I'm going. I'm legally blind. I'm further than legally blind. I passed legally blind about a decade ago. I'm literally holding a little white cane. So, what? I'm just supposed to be able to see you on the road and not run you over. Don't be ridiculous. I suppose that is ridiculous, now that I think about it. Well, I didn't do any of that, so don't worry. I didn't do any of that. Didn't do any of that. I gave up my moped as soon as it became obvious that I was getting to the point where I wouldn't be able to safely operate a moped anymore. So don't worry, you're pretty little head about that. Then I got a treadmill. Now a treadmill, you would imagine a treadmill, the privacy of your spare room. You could imagine you could just do whatever you want on that and not have to worry about anything. And that's kind of true, except it gets very, 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 very tedious. What happens is you get on your treadmill all enthusiastic. You start doing it for several hours a day. You do more and more treadmill every day. 5 in the morning, you just get on your treadmill and you go, right, I'm going to walk to the moon virtually today. And you start walking to the moon. You listen to podcasts while you're doing it. 4 hours a day, 5, 6, 7, 8. Eventually, you get up to 23 hours a day and you find that you're not getting enough sleep. Now, that might be a good thing because it means you're burning up more energy than you're creating or saving. And that might be a good thing if you're dieting. But it might be a problem if you want to stay alive. So no. For another thing, the whole tedium of the treadmill becomes a problem after a while. Your motivation disappears. That's a problem too. So the treadmill went in a skip about 5 years ago, if I remember rightly. I do have an exercise bike, but someday I might start using. I don't know. The thing about exercise bikes is you feel like a cyclist, and there's nothing wrong with being a cyclist, but there's something wrong with feeling like a cyclist. I don't want to feel like a cyclist in my spare room. That's not a thing. And I should probably be wearing a helmet because I am quite clumsy. I should be wearing a bicycle helmet on my stationary bicycle. No matter how ridiculous it sounds or looks, I should be wearing a helmet, and I certainly wouldn't want to wear a helmet on that. I'd have to turn off the central heating, first of all, while I'm using it, and then everyone who's not exercising strenuously will get a chill, they'll get a cold, or they'll get the flu, or they'll get AIDS, or they'll get... No, not AIDS, hold on. Pneumonia, or they'll get frostbite, or they get bitten by a cat. Who's very on edge because of whatever's going on in the back room involving a stationary bicycle. Cats don't understand stationary bicycles. They really don't. Or treadmills. They have no concept of it. You turn on a stationary bicycle or a treadmill and the first thing they do is go, what the fuck? What the actual fuck? What are you doing? What is going on here in my house? Then occasionally you jump up onto the front of the treadmill where there's a sort of handlebars and a kind of dashboard on the fancier ones. They get up on that and they get in the way. And there's a good chance it'll cause you to fall over and die. Well, it's okay. You have a piece of string there to save you. Home treadmills, they come with a little piece of string. It looks like the kind of piece of string that you tie your shoes with. The narrow ones, not the wide flat shoelaces, the round shoelaces. It's like one of those, except at one end there's a magnet, and the magnet attaches to a circular panel on the dashboard, and then the other end has a clip on it, and you attach that to your clothing. And the idea is if your cat knocks you over off the treadmill and you fall on the floor and break your skull, at least you know that the magnet disconnects from the dashboard, and that automatically triggers the treadmill to turn itself off, so your cat won't get hurt. So that's good. I just realized, if you heard last week's episode of this podcast, I mentioned that I was going to temporarily ban myself from doing segments that start with "Once upon a time there was a dog, etc. I did temporarily ban myself. I didn't do any dog segment last week. I didn't even do the other fallback, which is two cats walk into a bar. And that was quite successful, I feel. And now today I did it. Once upon a time there was a dog segment, and it worked. Because the purpose of the ban was to deal with the fact that I've been obsessing over dog anatomy in recent months. Every time I do the once upon a time there was a dog segment, it's supposed to be a stream of consciousness thing where I get onto various subjects following on from that that are not necessarily dog related. Well, a lot of the time in recent months I've been getting back to dog anatomy and the structure of a dog's anatomy and stuff like that. And it's been getting a bit repetitive. So I decided last week I'd forgo that for one episode at least. And I forgo it for one episode at least. And today I brought it back and I managed to get through the whole dog segment. All 18 minutes as it happens. Now, I might be shorter than that after I edit out some shit. But the shit that I edit out is not dog related. No, it went perfectly well. I managed to not talk about dog anatomy at all. In fact, I managed to talk very little about dogs during that segment. That segment worked exactly how it's supposed to work. I did my once upon a time there was a dog. And then that swiftly led me on to new topics and new stream of consciousness paths. In fact, I think there was more cat mentions in that segment than there was dogs. That's a success. My break from doing dog segments has enabled me to get over my addiction to talking about dog anatomy. I think that's great. So well done me. Finally, some good news in the week when we need it, I can tell you. I managed to get away from reading the news every day in the recent years. This year, I've managed to get away from reading Twitter/X all the time. I now am at the first time in my life where I actually miss things that are happening in the news. And it's great. I absolutely love it. The first sign this week that I found out that there was an ongoing fuel crisis affecting the whole planet was when I went to the website where I order home heating oil, and I put in my usual order and they gave me the price, and then I died. I said, what in the name of Christ is this? What's happening here? And then I was informed by my spouse that there's a big thing going on. There's oil distributors being blockaded all over the country. It's a big thing. There's petrol stations running out of fuel. Everything's gone to hell in a handbasket. So whatever's going on, I've managed to successfully avoid hearing about it for as long as possible. I think that's great. Well done me. Now, I'm not saying people should turn their back on the news or what's going on in the world. It's very important. The reason I'm allowed to do it is because for much of my 20s and 30s and possibly my 40s, I spent every waking hour listening to the news or reading the news or watching the news, following everything hour by hour, minute by minute. I remember during the Northern Ireland peace talks, I was following that on the radio, earphones jammed into my ear all day, every day. So I've done more than my fair share of news listening for one lifetime. I got it all done and dusted during the first 20 to 40 years of my life. I did plenty of news listening. I've done my fair share. It's someone else's turn now. So don't think, oh, this fellow's an ignoramus. He wants to know nothing about what's going on in the world. No, that's not true. I did my shift early in life, so now it's my turn to be the one who ignores the news. If you tell me any news, I will hiss and spit at you, metaphorically. I would never literally spit at someone or in their direction, or at all, for someone can see me doing it, unless there's some medical need for it. You won't see me spitting anywhere, I can tell you, because I do in private. I do in the privacy of my own bathroom. I don't do it when I'm sitting down in the bathroom, because I'd have to spit into the shower. The shower is about 3 feet away. I can't make it that far. There is a sink much closer, a few inches from my left knee while I'm sitting on the toilet. I could spit into the sink, but no, I wouldn't. I would not do that. Oh, no, wait, though. No, I take that back. Unfortunately, I'm wrong about that. I've often brushed my teeth in that position. In the ensuite of this room, in fact, I often brush my teeth sitting down. Well, that's because I do a lot of things sitting down, so I can see what I'm doing. I brush my teeth sitting down. I sit down in the toilet. I have a toothpaste in a press under the sink. I take that out. My new thing now is that I squirt the toothpaste directly into my mouth instead of onto the toothbrush. I highly recommend that, I can tell you. It doesn't mean you have to make sure you have a different toothpaste tube for each member of the household. You can't share your toothpaste tubes. But if you're already used to not sharing toothbrushes, it won't be a big problem adapting to this new system where you don't share toothpaste tubes. So get used to using separate toothbrushes first. And then you'll be quite quickly able to adapt to not using the same tube of toothpaste as everyone else. If it helps, make up white lie. Tell everyone in your household that each person has different needs. Your dentist has made different recommendations about what type of toothpaste to get. Some of them need the sensitive stuff. Some of them need the tooth whitening stuff. Some of them need the tooth darkening stuff because their teeth are too bright. It's getting them into trouble. So everyone has their own individual tube. And then you just get the toothpaste and you squirt it directly into your mouth. It's like eating one of those tubes of 14 things that some athletes or explorers or something use. Do they? Or am I making that up? I don't know. Oh no, maybe it's astronauts I'm thinking of. They used to squirt stuff from a tube into their mouth. In fact, why that's on my mind is because I put out a video short last week in which I discussed astronauts making sandwiches in the International Space Station. Someone mentioned in the comment that astronauts squirt their food directly into their mouth from a tube. And someone else corrected them and said, no, that stopped a long time ago. That was a long time ago. They stopped doing that long, 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 long ago. They didn't elaborate, but from what I understand, they're insisting that astronauts no longer live off food that's squirted out of a toothpaste tube. I suppose that's probably makes sense, I suppose. We've got more sophisticated ways of eating now. Gone all fancy. I don't know what way they'd be all fancy, but they must have gone all fancy. Perhaps they have a stew in a bag. It's like a hot water bottle with a smaller nozzle on it. Well, how's that any better than squirting it from a toothpaste tube? I suppose the stew is better. It's not just some paste that's made up of whatever. Although paste can be nice. Paste can be nice on sandwiches. That's the thing. The stuff you're getting, whatever you used to get in the tube as an astronaut that you squirt into your mouth, there's presumably high protein, whatever else you need, all crammed into this paste. That was probably delicious on sandwiches, but they couldn't make sandwiches with it, Maybe if they're clever, they could. But then you'd be getting more than your recommended intake of carbs and protein because you'd have to add in the bread and the butter. Put that in. You get a sandwich bag. You put the two slices of bread in the sandwich bag. You hold it closed and then open it a little bit and squirt the paste into that in between the slices of bread in the sandwich bag. And then you get the butter. How would you spread the butter, though? I suppose you could just about manage that. You keep the bag. Ziploc bag, you keep it almost closed, you keep it open just enough to fit a butter knife in, and then you spread the butter around on the sandwich bag. Don't get any air in or the butter will just float around everywhere. You'll have butter on the inside and the outside of the bread, which does not make for a good sandwich unless you're making grilled cheese sandwich, the so-called grilled cheese sandwich. The way they make grilled cheese sandwiches, at least in this house, is they get two slices of bread. They put the ham and the cheese in the middle, and then they get the butter, and they butter the outside of the bread. You hold the sandwich in your hand, and you butter one side, and then you turn it around, and you butter the other side, and then your hand is covered in butter. And then you put that in a hot pan, and hope to Christ it turns into something edible, which invariably it does. And then you're warned, don't put mayo on it until after it's cooked. Put the mayo on at the end. Now, if I was anything to do with me, I would just go, why would you need mayo? It's got butter. In fact, why do you need meat or cheese in it? There's nothing wrong with a sandwich that's just butter. But even better than that is a sandwich that's just bits of chicken and salt and nothing else. Well, butter and chicken and salt. That's the ideal sandwich as far as I'm concerned. Of course, you can't really. How are you going to raise hens in the International Space Station? Does the International Space Station even exist anymore? I'm not sure. I'm currently reading an audiobook of a history of space stations. I haven't got to that bit yet. Just getting up to the moon landings. There's a lot of stuff about Russians and there's a lot of stuff about Americans going into space. There's a long history. It starts with their first expeditions into space by humans long before space stations became a thing. It goes into great detail. So perhaps by next week's episode, I'll have got to the part of that book where he tells you whether the International Space Station is still in operation. Or else he won't, because it'll be a book that was published a few years ago before the International Space Station was shut down, if it was shut down. I won't know because I don't monitor the news anymore, so I'll just have to wait until there's an updated edition published or another book on a similar topic that tells me. So I suppose there's that. I suppose there's that. Anyway, well done me for not talking about Doug Anatomy. I think I talked about horse meat instead, did I? I did. Now, in a way, that's horse anatomy, but not really. Meat and anatomy are not the same subject. They may come from the same material, the same flesh. Now, if the flesh that is in food that you get from an animal is the same flesh that's in the animal's anatomy, but it's two different subjects. So if I talk about horse meat, or even dog meat, I'm not talking about dog anatomy or horse anatomy, I'm talking about the meat. It's a different subject, it's fine. So it's not repetitive, that's great. Well done me for that, that's great.
Into your head.
If you're listening to this from underneath the International Space Station. Now, I say underneath because, as I mentioned elsewhere in this episode, I don't know what's become of the International Space Station, whether it still exists, whether they went ahead with their plans. They had a plan at one point to wind it down and then get it out of orbit and have it crash in an organized fashion back on Earth. Presumably with nobody in it, they're going to evacuate it first and then retire it by crash landing it. There's a chance you could be listening to this from underneath the International Space Station. It crashed down on you, hopefully accidentally. Hopefully the international community who are all cooperating in this peaceful project of a space station have not decided to use it as a projectile weapon, unless there's some emergency, I suppose, and to use whatever resources were available. Perhaps Saddam Hussein came up out of his grave threatening to whatever he does. What does Saddam Hussein do? I think he used to invade Kuwait and had something to do with oil. And he'd come on the television yelling and screaming, but we didn't understand a word he said. It's not that he wasn't able to speak well. There was a whole different language. Saddam Hussein used to come on the television in the 90s, not chat shows and things, you know. They'd show a video that's being released of Saddam Hussein, the then leader of Iraq, saying basically he's going to bring down fire and hell and brimstone on the Western society. You're all absolute cunts and arseholes. I don't like any of you. All I want to do is invade Kuwait and then not be accused of having weapons of mass destruction. And everyone said, oh, that's all about oil. It's all about oil. Your man wants oil and the other fella wants oil and they all want oil. The problem with oil, they'll tell you oil and you think of some oil thing squirting up out of a thing in the ground where you strike oil and then oil comes out like a spring out of the ground. And if you don't have your buckets ready, it's going to go to waste. That's how it was depicted in cartoons anyway. And you need to gather that up somehow. You like to think that if you ever won the lottery or if you ever had the good fortune to be there when some millionaire decides to throw all his money out of a hot air balloon down on a busy street. You like to imagine everyone running around gathering it up all excitedly. Oh, look, it's raining money, isn't it? Great. But that happens with oil. It's not as pleasant. Everyone's getting sprayed with oil. It's probably slippy. So no, I wouldn't want to strike oil. That's probably not going to happen though, is it? No. Well, the people who win the lotto probably thought that wasn't going to happen either, and they did. They did win the lotto. They win the lotto. Somebody won the lotto. They said, I'm not going to win this. I'm going to buy it anyway to prove that I don't think I can win this. If reincarnation exists, if I play the lottery every week through every lifetime for 1,000 years, I'm going to win the lottery at some point. It stands to reason, doesn't it? Anyway. Anyway what? I just go anyway. And then I don't have anything to add. You know, anyway, what? That's absolute tripe. And you might think, oh, I'll just have an umbrella with me for that eventuality. No, there's still going to be oil on the ground. You'll be slipping on that. An umbrella doesn't protect you from what's underneath you. It protects you from what's overneath you. Maybe you have something like snowshoes or snow tires to be attached. I suppose snow chains, like they use when they're climbing Mount Everest sometimes. There's some sort of snow chains that you attach to the outside of your shoes. And that'll help you not slip on the ice. And they got spikes or something on them that dig into the ice. So you're going to have spikes on your shoes and you're going to be digging into the public pavement just to stop you sliding and falling over on this oil. So you're going to be vandalizing the public pavement. That's less than ideal. I did that once at school. The last year in primary school, I was either 10 or 11 or 11 or 12. So I suppose I could say I was 10 or 11 or 12. And there was an art project. A fucking ridiculous art project, in my opinion, but an art project nonetheless, where they give everyone a big square, thick piece of wood, and you're supposed to nail stuff into that. You make a drawing using nails, you drive nails into it, and then you get various coloured wools, and you make a wool picture. So I was happily nailing my nails into this thing. There's a tiled area in this classroom and everyone did their art project on the floor on the tiled area. And I was happily driving my nails into this. I drove dozens of nails into this board. And then nearly time to go home. It was last thing on a Friday. And I realized, oh, it's time to go home. That's great. So I picked this up off the floor. It took quite some effort to pick it up off the floor because all the nails had gone into the tiles. I thought, oh, Christ. So I didn't think, oh Christ, I didn't think in terms of religious swear words at that age. I was a Christian brother at school anyway, you wouldn't get away with that kind of language. But the whole weekend worrying, because I'd left loads of holes in these fucking tiles. The whole area from the door of the classroom along one side and down to the bathrooms. Some of these fancy modern schools, each classroom has its own toilets. It's like a hotel or something. Anyway, spent the whole weekend worrying. I never got in trouble as a child. I was a very, very, very well-behaved child at school. I never did anything wrong. I was an absolute saint. I had no experience of getting into trouble at school. I thought, if you get into trouble, what happens is you get expelled and then you get executed. So I spent the whole weekend fretting over this. On the Monday morning, I got given out to by this teacher and then it was all over. I was expelled and then I was sent to death row. Oh, wait, no, I wasn't. It was absolutely fine. So if you've done that, if you happen to be listening to this, perhaps on a Saturday morning and yesterday, Friday evening, you were doing an art project at school and you accidentally drove loads of nails into the floor and you're fretting about it now, relax, it'll be fine. Don't worry about it. It'll be absolutely fine. If you happen to have a time machine, could you convey this to myself of that Friday afternoon, please? Because that was one of the worst weekends of my life. Two cats walk into a bar. One of the cats says, can I have a pint of your finest Tesco finest range milk, please? And the man behind the bar says, no. And the cat says, I beg your pardon. And the man behind the bar says, oh, I'm sorry, I do apologise, I misspoke. I meant, no, you can't. Absolutely not, no. No, 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 no. No. Supermarket own brand milk. Are you fucking serious? Are you out of your mind, cat? Are you absolutely out of your mind? And the cat says, well, as a matter of fact, yes, I am. Do you know cats don't actually talk in real life? So yes, I am out of my mind. I'm projecting myself into a fictional talking cat who's come in here. And who's appearing to you in a, this is a dream, you're having a dream, I'm appearing to you in a dream as a fictional talking cat. Now I am a real cat in real life, I don't talk and I don't go to bars. I sit at home, I'm a normal, standard, non-humanoid, four-legged cat. Right now I'm sitting at home, I'm actually asleep myself dreaming. In my dream I project my mind into a fictional, upright, humanoid talking cat who goes into bars in your dream. And I say, can I have a pint of your finest Tesco, what did I say, Tesco finest milk? Is there a Tesco finest milk? Tesco supermarket do, of course, have own brand milk, but I don't think they use their Tesco Finest brand on the milks, do they? No. They save the Tesco Finest brands for things like ready-made meals for two that you buy on Valentine's Day and you put in the microwave. You pick one side dish that's usually cabbage or something, and one dessert is a meal deal. It's stuff like that. You don't put it on milk. What would be Tesco Finest milk? All milk is exactly the same. Well, cow's milk is all exactly the same. Now, I know you have different levels of fat in milk. Well, that's just scooping the fat out a bit or adding extra fat in, depending which variation of milk you want. It's still the same milk. It's all from the same cow. You don't get the low-fat milk from a different cow who's being on a diet. No. Or do I presume they don't, anyway? And the man behind the bar says, so this isn't really happening, is it? And the cat says, oh, it's very much happening. It's happening very much. It's very much the real deal. It's just that it's happening in your subconscious and mine. We're just not in our bodies. If I was in my body right now, you'd barely be able to see me, because in real life, I'm a normal cat. There's no way I'd be able to see over this bar. And if I jumped up on top of the bar, you'd go nuts. You'd say, oh, Christ, there's a cat on my bar. But for some reason, if I come in humanoid cat form, like the sort of thing you might expect in the musical Cats or in a cartoon, an upright talking cat, you just think, oh, that's perfectly fine. At least that's what you think in your dreams. You think, oh, this cat comes in every night for the past 15 years. This talking cat has come in here, sat on a bar stool and ordered a pint of something. It had a long conversation with me. While you're asleep, you think that's perfectly normal and fine. When you wake up, if you're one of these people who remembers your dreams, you think, oh Christ, I had the weirdest dream last night. But you're obviously not one of these people who remembers your dreams, because you've been having this dream every night for the past 15, 20 years. You know, in real life, podcasting hasn't even been invented. Podcasting is just a thing that exists in our dream world. And the man behind the bar says, that sounds like a load of nonsense. And the cat says, exactly, exactly. It's a load of nonsense. A load of nonsense. And the man behind the bar says, well, what do we do now? And the cat says, well, you should probably get some rapid eye movement in before you wake up. Wait, are you in that rapid eye movement now? I'm not sure I understand the technicalities of dreaming. Did dreaming happen during the REM segment? I don't know. Either way, you should probably get an hour or two of non-dream sleep, because you need to recover. Some of these dreams that you have these days here in 2026, they're so extreme. You need an hour or two of sleeping after the end of the dream just to recover. It's like being in a cinema. You go to see Schindler's List or something, and it's very overwhelming. You get to the end, you watch right to the end of the credits, and then you just sit there and contemplate and think in the dark for a couple of hours. They probably can't do that in the cinema nowadays, because they're showing another film 5 minutes after that ends, so you have to get out. If they were allowed to stay, just sit there and stare at the blank screen and go, Jesus Christ, that was awful. I don't mean the movie was awful. It was a really good film. Very, very good. The Steven Spielberg fella, he knows what he's doing with the filmmaking. He's quite good at it. That first movie Steven Spielberg made, a TV movie, it was called something like Rage or Rant or something like that, about this fella driving around a mountain range or a desert or something, being pursued by a huge, 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 massive, inarticulated lorry bearing down on him. I've discussed this before, so let's not go into that. Well, that was really good. You should watch that. That's before he started becoming obsessed with sharks and aliens. Obsessed with sharks, but also obsessed with not showing them on the screen too much. He said, oh, it's more scary if you don't see it. Absolute nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Someone comes up to you pointing a gun at you and they're standing behind you so you don't see them. That's far less scary than if you actually see them. And the same is true of a shark. If there's a shark under the water here and you don't notice it, that's not even alarming at all. You don't even notice. You're not even aware of it. But no, later on, when he started doing the Schindler's List stuff, he did that very well, I thought. He did that very well. Was he involved in Back to the Future? I'm not sure. Maybe he was. I think we're approaching the end of today's episode of Into Your Head. Don't turn off just yet. But don't worry, I'm not going to do another whole segment like I've done several times recently, where I go on about how when I say we're approaching the end, you don't need to turn off straight away. No, I don't worry. I'm not going to labour the point on this occasion. No, we're approaching the end of the programme. I've just had a piss. I'd like to get out of here before my next piss becomes imminent. And that won't be very long because I drink a lot of liquids when I'm doing these things. Supermarket own brand energy drinks. I drink very strong coffee. And I drink the whole fucking morning. My afternoon consists of pissing and talking into this contraption here, and then pissing again and talking into this contraption here a bit more, and then pissing again and then talking into this contraption a bit more. This contraption being my recording setup. You don't need to know the details. You're not a nerd, are you? No, you don't need to know what I record into. No, it's a thing. It's a thing on a desk with a thing, and a thing with a screen with a big recording button on it. That's all you need to know. It's connected to the internet. Anyway, I think we're approaching the end of the show. I don't like calling it a show. Or do I? I can't remember. Do I like calling it a show? I'm not sure. I like calling it a program lately, though. So I think we're approaching the end of the program, so goodbye.